the word of piety, firm grip, and the argument of Allah over the remaining ones. I bear witness that you are the servant of Allah and His trustee. You conveyed sincerely and delivered it faithfully. You were killed as truthful. You did not prefer blindness to guidance and did not deviate from the truth to the falsehood. I bear witness that you established prayers, you gave zakah, you bid the good, you forbade the wrong, you followed the Prophet, you recited the book with the recitation due to it, and you invited to the way of your Lord with wisdom and good advice.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, "Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad." Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju tishnagi avar bedas. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad avaz bala vasta. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah. Now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever.
The ocean of dua.
It is exactly as the Holy Quran says, "Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'idati al hasana." It seems that the most important instructions of our religion are somehow carved into this beautiful ziyarah. The ziyarah continues, "I stand witness that you stood on a manifest proof from your Lord. You conveyed what you were commanded with. You stood up for His truth. You believed in those who were before you without displaying weakness or causing others to do so. I give testimony that jihad is for you and the truth is with you and toward you. You are the man of truth and the origin of truth, and the heritage of the prophethood is with you." Dear listeners, we will inshallah continue talking about the testimony for the inheritance in the phrases of our ziyarat in the next programs. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye. Allah, yeah, Allah, guide me all the way to your
close to you throughout my life, Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Salaamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. We come to you today with another special program, Light Upon Light. Today is the auspicious birthday anniversary of Imam Jawad alayhi salam, the one who is most well known for his generosity among the Ahlul Bayt. So we would like to express our congratulations to all of you on this occasion, and we would like to invite you to stay with us in this conversation. My honorable guest today is Dr. Radia Batul Najafi. Salaamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Congratulations on this occasion of Eid.
Thank you so much for you too.
And thank you for being here. So inshallah, today we're going to talk about Imam Jawad alayhi salam. As you know, Jawad means generous. And we know that all of the Ahlul Bayt, they had a lot of generosity. One of the main features that they were most well known for was the fact that they were very giving to the poor and needy people. So what does Jawad mean in like the Arabic technical term? And why was Imam Jawad most known for this feature?
Beautiful question. And I think we can connect a lot and do tawassul to this great imam by knowing more about this beautiful title. I always remember the way Imam Radha alayhi salam, he would write letters for his very young son, Imam Jawad, in Medina, because Imam was in Tus, Mashhad, yeah, in Iran. And his son was only 3 years old when he left him. Mm-hmm. So he would write to him that, oh, my son Jawad, you have to use the gate, the door, because his house would have many doors to use for going out. So Imam would say, you have to use the common door, in the door which opens to the street where so many people are like crowded
open
over there,
public.
And you have to put some dirham and dinar and money in your pockets, and you have to distribute between people. So this habit of generosity, as we have hadith by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as-sakha'u shajaratun fil jannah. Just I love it that, you know, the generosity would manifest maybe even now definitely in Jannah, in a shape, in a form of a tree. So and in even this is the hadith that, you know, no one can enter to the Jannah. It has written on the door of the gate of Jannah that no one can enter the heaven without having the beautiful quality of generosity and sakhawat. So Imam Jawad alayhi salam, he would just you know, give and distribute the money and his definitely wisdom in a very, very young age. And that was maybe one of the reasons that he was known as a Jawadul A'imma. In a sense, that young age, and because he was the first imam who had reached to the status of imamate in this very, very young age. Like,
how
he was only
was he?
Seven. Yeah, seven or eight.
So
yeah.
Was he the youngest imam?
Exactly. Yeah, later on we had some, but he was the first youngest imam to reach to the status of imamat, and the youngest imam who has been died, like martyred, shaheed also, both. So this was something really outstanding. And one more thing, because so many people had doubt about the position of imamat of Imam Jawad, and he faced a very critical time in his time because of Imam Radha alayhi salam, because Imam Radha was above 40 when still he didn't have any child, and many people have doubt.
He had no children or no sons.
No children.
No children.
Yeah. Like, you know, I say the test of Ibrahim Khalilullah, mm-hmm. or Prophet Ibrahim, yeah. you know, the same imtihan Ibrahimi, the same imtihan and test, yeah, test has been passed by Imam Rida alayhi salam. So therefore people had so many doubt that maybe Imam himself is Imam or not, because he's not having any child, mm-hmm. any son even. And then when Imam Jawad alayhi salam, he came to this earth, still people had doubt because of his skin color, mm-hmm. you know, and that maybe this is again test for ummah, for people, for followers, that why they're having doubt, but still they have so many doubts about Imam, and therefore Imam Rida alayhi salam, what
about
said,
his skin color?
Yeah, his skin color was darker.
Imam Rida?
No, Imam Jawad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And there were so many beautiful stories that, you know, unfortunately they would bring the expert
to see if this is his son really or not.
Son or not. You know, like that much, it was serious issue for followers of Imam Rida and Imam Jawad alayhi salam. And therefore Imam Rida alayhi salam, he would say, أَعْظَمُ بَرَكَةً. My son Jawad is the most blissful child in Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. He has so much barakah, spiritual barakah, mentally, you know, scientifically, and definitely, you know, economically. Like Jawad in all aspects of the life which human being they need. Mm-hmm. So he was Jawad. Why? Because by his existence and wujud in this earth, so many confusion has been solved for people of definitely
you
Shia.
You mean scientific confusions?
Exactly, scientific about especially imamate, mm-hmm. and hidayat, you know, the guidance from Allah Ta'ala, the system, because people were totally confused. We all know, mashallah, our weavers definitely they have very good knowledge about 14 ma'asumeen. So we know, like, so many people, they were waqifiyah. Like, they would say, just we have seven imam, till mm-hmm. seventh. Like, we don't need eight one, mm-hmm. because of, again, the doubts, you know. And we don't need the ten one or nine one, you know. So the waqifiyah was so much, like, in that sense, they were so much powerful in that time. And not only waqifiyah, so many people, they were mujassima, like they would believe that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has a physical, like, you know,
being.
Shape and being. And so many firqa and groups and, you know, schools of thoughts were there after seventh imam.
Mm-hmm.
So more confusions were there. And not even the Shia, the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, they would say, how it is possible that imam can be imam in the age of six or seven? It's too early. Mm. That was big shock for them. And they also had, because of their simplicity and, you know, lack of knowledge, they would say, no, we can't believe it. This is imam. This mm-hmm. is. And even Imam Rida has left him all alone,
right.
with so many doubts. Yeah, right. In the city of Medina, one very young child as an imam, first time in the history of, like, especially, you know, the Khatimun Nabiyyin and the final prophet's time. So,
Sister Radia, I'm going to come back to this question, but we're going to go for a short break, and then we'll be right back. This is Light Upon Light, a special program on the occasion of the birthday anniversary of Imam Al-Jawad alayhi salam. Congratulations to all of you. Don't go away. We'll be right back with the continuation of our discussion.
Born in Holy Medina on 10th of Rajab, 195 after Hijra, Imam Jawad was the holy son of Imam Rida. His name was Muhammad, and he was called Jawad, meaning generous. Imam Rida used to say time and again that Imam Jawad was the most auspicious and blissful child born for the Shia Muslims. Three messengers received their missions in their childhood, and similarly, three imams were given imamate at their childhood. First of whom was Imam Jawad, who succeeded his father Imam Rida at the age of eight. With an eight-year-old boy at the helm of the Shia Muslim world, there was an outbreak of misgivings and doubts among the Shias. However, all these doubts turned into solid faith when the elders and Shia scholars testified to the exceptional knowledge of the young Imam Jawad. Following the martyrdom of Imam Rida, Ma'mun lost his social status among the public, an incident which forced Ma'mun to leave Khorasan and settle in Baghdad. Like in the past, Ma'mun forced Imam Jawad to come to Baghdad and marry his daughter as a show of his intimacy and amity towards the household of the Islamic prophet. Like his father, Imam Jawad inherited the knowledge of his noble forefathers and the Islamic messenger. At his young age, Imam Jawad participated in many debates which were usually held at the presence of Ma'mun. In these debates, the expansive knowledge of Imam Javad left his opponents with nothing but admiration and humility. As one of his major works, Imam Javad managed to walk the Shia Muslims safely through the useless but widespread philosophical discussions of that era. Most of these discussions rooted in the massive works of translations from Greek philosophy, which had already left a big influence on the non-Shia schools of thought. The approach of Imam Javad, however, was always illustrative, as His Holiness openly refuted these baseless thoughts and stopped the Shia Muslims from engaging into such impractical debates. The management of the wide network of deputies among Shia Muslims, which was formally established by Imam Kazim, was also another great work by Imam Javad. In fact, the Shia Muslims needed to be prepared for a new era, dubbed as the occultation era, when the Shias won't be able to meet the holy infallible Imams in person. On the surface, Ma'mun offered her daughter's hand to Imam Javad in marriage. However, he always held ill intentions towards this holy Imam. Ma'mun tried to put his evil plans into practice and kill Imam Javad, but the holy Imam survived this malicious attempt by the wills of God. Eventually, Ma'mun was succeeded by Mu'tasim, another brutal Abbasid ruler who poisoned Imam Javad in 220 after Hijra, in a plan carried out by the daughter of the deceased Ma'mun, who was also married to Imam Javad. At the age of 25, Imam Javad was martyred and his pure body was left on the roof for 3 days. Later on, when the people learned about the martyrdom of Imam Javad, they buried this holy Imam near his grandfather Imam Kazim in Kazimiyyah.
Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters. This is Light Upon Light, a special program on the occasion of the birthday anniversary of Imam Al-Jawad alayhi salam. So this is actually one of my questions as well, what we were talking about before the break. You said that a lot of the followers of Imam Ridha alayhi salam had the doubt, first of all, that where is the child, the successor of the Imam, and second of all, that Imam Ridha had to leave Imam Jawad when he was only 3 years old, right? So we are talking about a time where there's a lot of ideological confusion among the followers and the Shias. So how does a three-year-old child really grow to be like ready for this role of imamate and the scientific role that he had to play, you know, like clearing all the doubts and
that is again one of the meaning of Jawad. You know, Imam Ridha alayhi salam, during his time in Medina, even after the birth of Imam Javad alayhi salam, this was one of his duty to introduce his son. And literally he would say, my son Javad is like Musa. You know, Musa, Hazrat Musa, like, and my son is like a Jesus, Hazrat Isa. Like he is full of, he has so many miracles in his life. And he literally would do. And this is the help and, you know, like guidance from Allah Ta'ala. Whenever we as a human being and Anbiya alayhi salam and A'imma alayhi salam, they don't have like maybe support from people, they can't digest that this youngest person, how can be, you know, as a guide and imam for us. So Allah will give them the power of some miracles. So imams stick would talk sometimes, Imam Javad alayhi salam. Like one day, one of the very, very outstanding debater and faqih and expert, he would live in Samarra. I think something Akhtam his name is. So he literally said, I have a doubt on your imama, to Imam Javad alayhi salam. And the asa, the stick of Imam Javad, start talking. And literally the asa said, you know, this is my imam of my time, Imam Zaman. And then he got astonished. So sometimes a guy came and he said, you know, I have a pain in my eyes. And Imam Ridha was in the city of Medina in that time. And maybe Imam Javad was only two. And that time, what Imam Javad used to say, don't refer to me, go to my son. You know, the imam, the next imam. So, and then Imam Jawad would give cure to blind, you know, as like literally this was something very like common for Imam Ridha and for the close companion of Imam Ridha alayhi salam and Imam Jawad, that this is the, you know, exactly the imam is the position of imam. And one more like story we have, that once a guy, when he came, he was very in suffering from economically, like in his life. So what Imam did, Imam just went to the place where he would pray, mihrab has such a, you know, like powerful effect in our life. So inshallah, we all would have some mihrab. Mihrab means the prayer area in our in like houses, inshallah. So Imam went to the mihrab of his things, you know, not the extra things, whatever, they don't need it. So one is that, and the second is that, you know, the hadith which I have shared with you, As-Sakha or Shajaratun Fil Jannah, this is by Rasulullah, but the narrator is Bibi Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha. So I just love it, you know, like we know that not only Jawadul A'imma, you know, this tree of generosity has come from Khatijatul Kubra too, you know, right. How generous she was. Yeah. So when we talk about them and connect with them, then automatically we love to give, love to share. And even that some you know, unfortunately some games we have, like musical chair. So we are not like taught by it since childhood. In musical chair, the last stage is that, you know, two people are there and one chair.
Yeah.
So what this game is teaching us that, you know, we have to push the other participant and we have to grab ourselves that chair. This is not a sharing, you know, habit. So the game should be like that we have to teach the children since childhood that, you know, you have to share the same chair. That is the winner. You know, sharing, caring, loving, not only generosity in just material stuff.
Right.
Even you know, the way we talk, the way we think, you know, we can be generous, inshallah.
Thank you so much. Thank you for following us until now. This was Light Upon Light, a special program brought to you on the occasion of the auspicious birthday anniversary of Imam Jawad alayhi salam. I hope that inshallah we can at least today sort of express that sense of generosity more in our life. Until another program, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll discuss the 22nd chapter of the Holy Quran, Suratul Hajj, or Pilgrimage. Before moving on, let's just listen to some verses of this chapter and we'll be back with you. Stay with us.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
الله يصطفي من الملائكة رسلا ومن الناس. إن الله سميع بصير.
Allah chooses from the angels, messengers, and from the people. Indeed, Allah is hearing and seeing.
يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم. وإلى الله ترجع الأمور.
He knows what is presently before them and what will be after them, and to Allah will be returned all matters.
الله يصطفي من الملائكة رسلا ومن الناس إن الله سميع بصير. Allah chooses the messengers from among the angels and from among the men. Verily, Allah is all-hearing, all-seeing. يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم وإلى الله ترجع الأمور. He knows what is before them and what is behind them, and unto Allah are returned all affairs. We concluded previously that Almighty Allah is not like human beings. He is aware of His messengers in their absence, and He is always aware of all the circumstances. He hears their words, He sees their action, and that's why He is called إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ. And that's why He is called سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ in the 75th verse. So just right after that, the Almighty Allah is said to be all-hearing, all-seeing. The Holy Quran continues saying يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Because He is all-hearing and all-seeing, He knows what is before them and what is behind them. Allah is aware of both their future affairs and those of their past that they have put in behind. The verse continues, and unto Allah are returned all affairs. So this fact has been stated here in order that people know that the angels and divine prophets are also some obedient servants who have their responsibilities before Him, the Exalted. And these people, the prophets, the angels, have nothing from their own selves except for Allah has bestowed on them. So they don't have anything from themselves. As a result, they should not be taken as gods and objects of worship besides the Almighty Allah. Exactly the problems some of the polytheists had. So this sentence which says, He knows what is before them, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ, in fact, is an indication to the duty and responsibility of the divine messengers. It is, in fact, talking about their deeds, that they will be controlled from the side of the Almighty Allah. And it is very similar to Surah Al-Jinn, the 27 and 28th verses, where it says, إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولٍ فَإِنَّهُ يَسْلُكُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ رَصَدًا. Except to him whom he chooses as a messenger. For surely he makes a guard to march before him and after him. And then also the 28th verse, لِيَعْلَمَ أَنْ قَدْ أَبْلَغُوا رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ, so that he may know that they have truly delivered the messages of their Lord. وَأَحَاطَ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ, and he encompasses what is with them.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly, the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
Now it is clear that the purpose of the Quranic phrase مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ is the future events, and the purpose of مَا خَلْفَهُمْ is the past events. And in any case, the knowledge of Allah does not increase or decrease. He has been aware of all the creatures and all their deeds, whether they are exterior or interior. The noble Quran says in this regard, لا يعزب عنه مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض. Not the weight of an atom becomes absent from him in the heavens or in the earth. ولا أصغر من ذلك ولا أكبر. Neither less than that nor greater. إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. But all is in a clear book. So, by the cognizance and knowing this vast knowledge of the Almighty Allah, this would lead us to very educational and actually instructional effect. It warns us that whomever we are, whatever our ranks are, whatever the position we're occupying, in all the circumstances, he knows. He is aware of the belief we have in our minds. He's aware of our intentions. He's aware of our hearts. And all these things are manifest in his infinite knowledge. It is certain that taking note of this fact is very effective in man's training. And these are some instructions that make man prepared for reaching the goal of creation, for reaching the law of development. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. Your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at EnglishRadio@IRIB.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me. Why ends when faith begins?
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Imam Javad, the salvager of faith. In the name of God, the all-merciful, the all-compassionate. Hello everyone, and our heartiest congratulations to all on the auspicious 10th of the sacred month of Rajab, the blessed birthday anniversary of the 9th infallible heir of the Almighty's last and greatest messenger to all mankind, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. And before we start our special feature program, let us listen to a part of a supplication in the Divine Court by the person whose birth anniversary we're celebrating today. O Allah, I beseech you, knowing that you are the sovereign, that you have power over all things, and whatever you will comes into being. O Allah, I turn to you through your prophet Muhammad, the messenger of mercy. Allah bless him and his progeny. O Muhammad, O prophet of Allah, I turn to Allah through you, your Lord and my Lord, that he may fulfill my request for your sake. O Allah, for the sake of your Prophet Muhammad and the Imams of his progeny, Allah bless him and his progeny, fulfill my request. We're now going through the blessed days of the month of Rajab, the sacred month in which the floodgates of God's mercy are opened for the seekers of proximity to the Divine Court through special prayers and supplications. It is the month in which blessings are galore for the Prophet's Ahlul Bayt or household, peace be upon them. The supplication that we recited is among those which the faithful recite on the eve of the advent of Rajab. As is evident, it is unique, although the English translation might lack the electrifying impact of the original Arabic. Nonetheless, as could be clear by the wording, the one who bequeathed this supplication to humanity was not an ordinary person. As is obvious, first the Almighty is directly beseeched by the supplicant, who then addresses Prophet of Islam as the intercessor with Allah, and then implores Allah again for the sake of the Messenger of Mercy and the Imams of his household. Perhaps the naive might not grasp the message of this supplication, but anyone well versed with God's revealed word, the Holy Quran, where the Almighty himself speaks of shafa'a or intercession and wasila or means in the Divine Court, know for sure that these wordings are indeed hidden treasures, or else their prayers would never have been answered. Moreover, the Prophet himself set the precedent in this regard by teaching the faithful to supplicate to Allah by invoking those whom the Almighty Creator holds near and dear. To be more precise, this particular supplication was taught by the person whose birth anniversary we celebrate every year on the 10th day of Rajab. He was the ninth infallible heir of the last and greatest of prophets. His name was Muhammad, and he was entrusted the imamate, or divinely designated leadership of mankind, at the tender age of 8. Yet, despite his young age, he immediately set about to prove his mission by making speechless the prominent preachers and orators of his era. In fact, so powerful were his words of wisdom that silver-bearded scholars of his days, whose skeptical minds had been unable to comprehend the ayahs of the Holy Quran that speaks of John or Yahya being granted wisdom and the book while still a child, tried to pose questions to him beyond his age. It is a matter of regret that these self-styled scholars, who also seem to have forgotten the ayahs of Surah Maryam in the Holy Quran, where the infant Jesus speaks of his mission from the cradle. The ninth Imam, whose epithet, Taqi, means pious, whilst another famous epithet, Javad, means generous, in both material and spiritual matters, including knowledge, jolted from deep slumber the minds of the self-doubting scholars. As the son of the martyr of Khorasan, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him, he gave glimpses of his God-given knowledge to all those who came into contact with him, thereby proving beyond any doubt that he was the Prophet of Islam's spotlessly pure heir. During his 17-year mission, he enlightened minds and souls, grooming a large number of scholars in various fields, who would carry on for the benefit of posterity the legacy of the Prophet had bequeathed to his vicegerent, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, at Qadir Khum, on the express commandment of God, whilst returning from his farewell Hajj pilgrimage to Mecca in the year 10 AH. Born in Medina in the year 195 AH, the ninth Imam was orphaned at the age of 8, under martyrdom through poisoning of his illustrious father, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him, in distant land of Khorasan. Yet despite his tender years, he ably carried out on his young shoulders the heavy responsibility of the guidance of the Islamic Ummah. He practically demonstrated to both the elite and the masses the meaning of God's word in the Holy Quran, which says the Prophet Yahya ibn Zakariya, or John the Baptist, was given book and wise judgment while still a child, as specified by Ayah 12 of Surah Maryam in the Holy Quran. This should not be a matter of surprise, since God Almighty informs us in Ayah 33 of Surah Maryam that Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, spoke from the cradle to the stupefied Israelites regarding his divinely mission that the heavenly scriptures entrusted to him. His debates with religious leaders of various religions and scholars of different schools of philosophical thought, including with the grey-bearded Mu'tazilite ideologue Yahya ibn Aqsam, are well known. They deal with wide-ranging subjects including the Hajj rituals, the rules of hunting birds and animals, marriage, laws of permissibility regarding women, and the important matter of wilaya, or God-given authority, that is vital in the world for unified leadership of the Ummah, and essential in afterlife for the safe and proper journey of the human soul. For 15 years, Imam Javad, peace be upon him, was under the watchful eyes of the crafty Caliph Ma'mun, the killer of his father. The Abbasid ruler forced his daughter in marriage upon Imam Muhammad al-Taghi al-Jawad, peace be upon him, who was already married and was the father of several children. Although not happy with this mismatch, he continued the mission of his illustrious forebears. He laid the groundwork for the foolproof system of wakala, or representation, that bound the ummah scattered throughout the vast realm to the imam, without arising the suspicions of the Abbasid agents. Later, during the occultation of Imam Jawad's great-grandson, the awaited Imam Mahdi al-Qa'im, may God hasten his return, who will establish the global government of peace, prosperity and justice by cleansing the earth of all vestiges of corruption and oppression. The wakala was to play a vital role in guiding the true believers. After the Caliph Ma'mun's death, the ninth Imam was for around 2 years under the constant watch of the next Caliph, Mu'tasim, who eventually martyred him by lacing his food with a fatal dose of poison at the young age of only 25 years. Imam Muhammad al-Taghi al-Jawad, peace be upon him, was laid to rest in the shrine of Qazimain, north of Baghdad, beside his grandfather, Imam Musa Qazim, peace be upon him, which is now the principal center of pilgrimage in the Iraqi capital for Muslims, whether Shia or Sunni. Time does not permit us to go into the details about the other important aspects of the life of the ninth Imam, who trained a vast number of scholars, such as Khalid al-Bulqi, who wrote over 100 books and treatises, and Ahmad bin Muhammad Byzanti, of Greek Byzantine origin, as his surname suggests, who compiled the encyclopedic work Jami' Byzanti. He strove to promote friendship and harmony in society, and expounded to the people the real meaning of charity and goodwill. Once, when a person said that as per a statement of Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Riza, peace be upon him, the best way for a person is the day he helps his friends in need, and he was thus happy for having granted something to 10 of his needy friends, Imam Jawad, peace be upon him, approved his deed of charity, but cautioned him by reciting Ayah 264 of Surah Baqarah in the Holy Quran, where God Almighty says, O you who have faith, do not render your charities void by reproaches and affronts. In this way, the ninth Imam opened for people the windows of wisdom. When he was asked about the angels, what are they? The Imam replied, they are the powers of God that regulate the universe. Once, when a newly converted Muslim wrote a letter to Imam Jawad, peace be upon him, asking whether to be kind to his father or throw him out of the house for being angry with him for having accepted Islam, the Imam replied, I read your letter, I will pray for you, but beware that it is better for you to be kind to your father, even if he's not a Muslim. This is indeed the dynamic legacy of the Messenger of Mercy, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as expounded by his spotlessly pure Ahlul Bayt or household, peace be upon them. In contrast to the terror tactics of the most of the Salaf, who before becoming Muslims, for a variety of reasons, were polytheists and atheists, immersed in a bestial life of abominable sins and fratricide, as their followers, the Takfiri terrorists, who neither believe in wasila or means and shafa'a or intercession, continue to do. We once again congratulate all our listeners on the blessed birthday anniversary of Imam Muhammad al-Taghi al-Jawad, peace be upon him. God bless and take care.
And welcome to the light. Thank you for joining us. If you love birds, this first story is definitely for you. Tens of thousands of flamingos have turned the Indian city of Navi Mumbai pink. Bird lovers gathered near a lake to watch the migrating flamingos. Every year, flamingos migrate to Navi Mumbai between October and March. They go there from northern and western parts of India and sometimes as far away as Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Iran. Then they fly out in June. This year and last year, their numbers were much higher. Experts say that is because the lake is cleaner thanks to COVID lockdowns. Well, the world's largest snow maze is once again welcoming visitors in Western Canada, offering them a joyful adventure amid the coronavirus pandemic. The attraction opened in mid-February after being in limbo earlier in the winter due to public health measures and unseasonably warm weather. In addition to the giant maze, there are also snow slides as well as snow buildings and huts with artworks inside so the visitors can enjoy other activities besides getting lost. The massive labyrinth is about 240,000 square feet, twice the size of its record-breaking build in 2019. Designers say the larger layout is a nod to social distancing guidelines.
In 2019, we applied for the title of the world's largest snow maze, which we got in February. And this year, just with COVID and everything, we wanted to make it bigger. And so this year, it's about 91% bigger than the world's largest title that we hold now.
The visitors can only have 5 people in their group, and masks and face coverings are mandatory. Indoor warming areas are closed, and picnic tables are also unavailable due to the pandemic.
Now, after an unprecedented winter storm in some parts of the United States, people in Texas have a rush to rescue sea turtles. So the creatures are not used to chilly weather, so they became cold stunned. This is a condition in which sea turtles remain awake but lose the ability to move. Volunteers have so far saved over 4,700 of them off the southern coast of Texas. The rescued turtles were transferred to a convention center and will be freed after the water becomes warmer.
There's a famous quote that love and kindness are never wasted. An Australian couple has proved that this maxim doesn't apply to humans alone. Chrissy Jarrett and her partner Matthew have been rescuing animals for the past 10 years and have saved dozens of kangaroos. The couple is volunteers with the New South Wales Wildlife Information Rescue and Education Service. Many of the rescued animals were taken from pouches of their dead mothers after they were hit by cars. Chrissy says caring for distressed kangaroos gives her a kind of sensation she cannot get from anything else.
It was such an eye-opener to learn how very human they were, how emotional, how, you know, interactive. They're not pets, they are wild animals, but they are so amazing to learn about, and that's something that I think wildlife care gives me that I can't get anywhere else.
Once the rescued animals are in a good enough condition, they are set free during a process that is called self-release. That is when the gate is left open so the kangaroos can come and go at will until they feel safe enough to leave for good. Some animals continue to visit their saviors even years after they were released.
If you walk through London these days, you'll spot tiny handmade shops in some places. Let's see what they offer. The shops have been created by an artist to encourage people to donate non-perishable food to charities. Sean Rodrigo makes wooden miniature food banks and puts them in different areas. He uses 3D printer to create his artwork. Rodrigo believes decorated boxes shaped like shops grab people's attention. Each box holds about 35 cans.
How would the Milky Way look like if it fell from the sky? Maybe similar to a magnificent scenery created by the freezing temperature in northeastern China. Frozen waterfalls in China's Jingpo Lake present a stunning view that attracts visitors even during the coldest days of the year. The chilly weather freezes the waterfalls from side to side with thick layers that are up to 15 meters high. The icy layers cover the cliffs, and they are sometimes as wide as 300 meters. But surprisingly, and unlike the waterfalls, the lake itself never freezes and is ice-free all around the year because of its underground hot springs.
Italy witnessed an amazing natural scenery. This one, however, is all about heat and smoke. Footage taken from Italy's Mount Etna shows thick plumes of rose-colored smoke rising into the sky while red lava turning the mountain slope into a glowing river. Europe's tallest active volcano burst into a new eruption earlier this week in the Sicilian town of Catania. Despite a rain of stones and ashes, authorities said the eruption has not been worrying. Mount Etna has erupted frequently in the past 500,000 years. Its last major eruption was back in 1992.
It's really difficult and often painful to put a smile on kids' faces, especially when they're sick and they are suffering from chronic diseases. But a group in superhero costumes in Austria has taken a courageous move to cheer up young patients on International Childhood Cancer Day. Vienna's Special Forces police officers agreed to visit the children's hospital dressing up as Spider-Man, Batman, and other superheroes. The young patients were excited and delighted to see them through windows while they scrawled on the walls of the hospital. The officer's brass band also played familiar songs from Star Wars to amuse the children. The visit was planned by hospital officials and volunteer officers in order to cheer up these little warriors who are fighting the diseases every day.
Thai brides and grooms have said, "I do," in a special wedding ceremony on Valentine's Day. 59 couples tied the knot on elephants during the ceremony in Thailand's Chonburi province. The elephant bag wedding is actually an annual event. It takes place in a botanical garden. In previous years, over 100 couples attended the ceremony, but this year, the number was half that due to the pandemic.
Humans are not the only ones having fun with snowfall. Two giant baby pandas at a Belgian zoo are also taking the advantage of the winter and having a blast playing in the snow. Bao Di and Bao Mi, translated as a little brother of Bao and little sister of Bao, were caught on camera enjoying their first winter at Pairi Diaza. The overly excited, adorable babies were rolling, tumbling around, and even eating in the snow. The zookeeper says that the body of the pandas is in a shape that makes them comfortable in the cold. With the birth of these two babies in August 2019, the privately owned Belgian zoo is now home to five giant pandas. Pairi Diaza is called Europe's best zoo, which consists of a botanical garden and an animal theme park.
Australia is offering environmentally friendly kayak tours in Sydney Harbour to both entertain participants and help clean up the ocean. The tours offer paddles, buckets, sieves, and picker sticks for removing trash from the harbor. Each month, about 20 such tours take place. They collect around 200 kilograms of garbage. Organizers believe big changes can be made with these tiny steps.
I do feel like we make a difference. It's not, I don't feel like it's just about the rubbish that we